Good evening and welcome. We do have some more seats up here towards the front if you're looking for a seat on this side. Is this... Mr. Heaton, is this not working? Okay, welcome everybody to our board meeting. We still have a couple of seats up here at the front. It is awesome to see all of the students here. Thank you for joining us, and we're excited to be able to hear about some of the amazing things that you're doing. Okay, we will go ahead and call our regular meeting of the Board of Education to order at this time. Our board members, we do have Tiffany and Megan that are joining us virtually, and all other board members are present here. And so we will go ahead and begin with a prayer or thought, and I've asked Stephanie to give that. At the conclusion of her prayer or thought, I've asked Ray Lynn to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Join me in prayer. Thank you. Our dear Father in heaven, we're grateful to convene this evening as the Board of Iron County School District. We're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to guide this district and recognize an amazing group of personnel, an exceptional student body. We recognize those in attendance tonight, how grateful we are for their attendance and participation, how grateful we are to honor them and their good efforts in representing not only themselves but this district. We give thanks for all that we have for this wonderful community, for the heritage, and for the continuous changes that we undergo. We would ask a special blessing at this time for added moisture, as we know that we desperately need it. Again, we're grateful for all that we have. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Just come right up here.
Please stand and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. And that is amazing to hear that with this group of people, so thank you. Okay, we will go ahead and move to the first item on our agenda, which is our consent agenda items. And so this is items that are put forward and we approve as a whole. It includes the audits, employment, LEA-specific licenses. So we'll look for a motion on consent agenda.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda items.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the consent agenda items. Any additional discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And motion carries. Okay, now we'll go ahead and move to the information items portion of our agenda. And first we have our recognitions. So I will turn some time over to my old battle buddy, Mr. Heaton, to talk about the wonderful things happening at Canyonview.
Well, I'm just here. I'm Danny Heaton. Most of those in attendance know me. So, but I'm just here to tell you how excited I am for all the accomplishments of our student athletes in our school. But I want to give the time to our coaches to call out the specific accomplishments and the individual accomplishments of their teams. I'd like to start with Mr. Brown with swim, then we'll have our ladies wrestling team, and then we'd like to have our talents team after that.
Well,
call them over here in a minute. But it is an honor. Thank you for honoring us. Before we go to Canyon View, I would like to recognize our two Parowan swimmers that we share in coaching. So this is Ty and Sydney Lauer, and Sydney was the swimmer of the year for 2A state. And the 2A and 3A state swim championships meet together, and Sydney received a bronze, or a gold and a silver, and Ty a gold and a sixth place for that state championship in their individual events. Stay here, join us. Okay, and if I can have the, well, maybe we'll do both boys and girls swim teams together, Canyon View.
Can we have a picture of those two real
quick? Let's have them step up here.
Okay, let's do this.
Congratulations, and for everybody else from Canyon View, remember the P on the hill over there stands for paradise. So good job, Parowan swimmers.
Yes, for sure. Okay, swimmers, please come over here. These are our Canyon View swimmers, both the men's and women's team. They are carrying a first-place region trophies and second-place state trophies for both the men's and women's team. They also spread out. We'll take pictures in a minute here. They are also wearing many different medals. We had many first and second place that I know we like to recognize in this meeting for individual events. A couple other things to note. Kurt Morgan is carrying also a swimmer of the year for the 3A state champion, or the 3A state. And then we also recognize a few state records that were set and broken during this state championship. So Kurt, with his other gold medals, received a all-time state record for the 50 freestyle that was set in 1979. Woo! Wow. And then broken, and then throughout the year, this year, several times he broke the 50 freestyle, or the 100 freestyle record, and then again recapped and broke that at the state.
I broke the 50.
And he has the 50 also.
Awesome.
Many. And then we had a relay of the 400 freestyle boys that broke a record that was set in 1977. New state record for 3A there. Again, thank you. It was fast. The former record was 3:16, 3 minutes 16 seconds, and we set a new record of 3 minutes 12 seconds.
Oh wow! So,
and one other, yeah, these three and one other member. So, let's take some pictures.
Is that possible?
Okay, you swimmers, settle down. My name's Travis Carter. I'm the girls' wrestling coach for Canyon View High School. This is Clay Allred and Alicia McCann. These are my assistants. And we had a good year. We won the state championship again this year for the second time. Back to back. It all came down to our last wrestler, Talisa, and she pinned the girl, and so we won by 2 points. So, awesome. It shouldn't have been that close, but it was, and we pulled it off, and so we're very proud. So kind of to backtrack a little bit, in our divisionals, we had 17 girls in the finals at our divisionals. There's only 14 weights, so we had several weights where we had our girls wrestling each other. 26 girls qualified for the state out of 28 possible. So we had almost two full teams wrestling at the state tournament. And we had a state placer in all but one of the weights. So we had somebody in the top five, top six in every single weight.
Oh, wow.
Our individual champions, we had four. We had six in the finals, and four of them won it. Brooke Barney. You hear Brooke?
Let's move on to our next sport.
Yeah.
Right.
Gemma Carter. She's my relation. Adriana Sierra. And Talisa Matakanga. Yeah, Talisa, this was her fourth state championship in a row. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Four in the talons and four for wrestling, so you can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
So why don't you, all you girls, come on up here so we can show you off a little bit. Sorry. Everybody, get up here. Hurry.
That is awesome.
Yeah, we didn't have a pickup to bring our trophies to show you guys. So we had quite a few this year, and we're really proud of them. Just kind of looking forward to the future. We're really excited to get our own wrestling room. It's going to start soon, I hope. I heard May.
Yeah, we're excited too.
And we appreciate your guys' effort in that, and we're so excited for that. That will really help us build an even better program at Canyon View, and we're really happy. We've been wrestling in the lunchroom for a couple of years, and maybe not. Maybe we won't break the luck of the lunchroom, right? I think that's it. We got anything else? Anything you want to add, Clay?
Just the boys. They wanted to.
Yeah.
So our boys were successful this season as well with Coach Dallas Lowry. They took a fifth place overall, had multiple second placers and multiple placers in that highly competitive boys league as well. So wrestling at Canyon View is the state of the union is strong, yeah, and is going to continue to be strong as long as any of us are around. So,
okay, congratulations.
Maybe you guys sit down.
Your mom.
Come on, come on.
I'm Nicole. I am the talents coach. And thanks for that, whoever did that. That was nice. Oh, you're all here. They're all here. We just got back from practice. These guys practice at 6 a.m. and they practice till 8 p.m. at night, so they are very hard workers. We had an undefeated season. We took first in all three competitions, first at region, and then this was our fourth time winning our state championship. And I will say it was not easy. So for those that think, oh, we just won four, it's not an easy thing to do. These girls really worked hard and they pushed it. And we had 14 seniors leave last year and we took on 16 freshmen. So half the team was new and they did awesome. We had three all-region girls. We had six academic all-regions and two all-state dancers. So, yep, we had an awesome year.
Okay, congratulations. Come up and let's get a picture.
Yes, please. I'll take a picture.
No, come on.
Oh, I don't want, I want to take it. I don't want to.
Congratulations, and Canyon View, way to represent. That is so awesome. And Perwin as well, way to represent. That's fantastic. Congratulations, you guys. Okay, all right. The next item on our agenda that we'll go ahead and go through is public comments. And this is the public comment for school fees only. So if there's individuals that would like to comment specifically on school fees, now is your time.
Ben, would you like me to take just a minute and go over a couple of the changes?
That would be great.
So there is a link in board docs to the proposed school year 25-26 school fee schedule. We've also posted that on the district website in the finance page so that people can go and take a look at that. If you look at the high school fees with spend plans, I was going to actually pull this up. Anything that is in red is a change from the previous year. So really we don't get into a lot of changes until you get down into the CTE. And some of these are, a lot of these are just changes in the names of certain courses. We went through and made sure that they were recognizable based on the names that the schools are using for a lot of these courses. Some of them are new courses for this year. Most of these fees are not, real excessive, anywhere from $15 to $20. We also reorganized the fee schedule so that all of the CTE courses are in one section. Anyway, we go kind of in alphabetical order there. Other changes at the high school level, the athletic directors asked if we could increase the participation fee for most of the extracurricular athletics programs. And so we did that. Roy, remind me, I think we increased that by $15.
Yes.
For most of those. So I didn't put in red, all of those changes down here if it was just that. We did increase the band instrument rental fee this year because repair costs are becoming more and more expensive. And we found that DECA didn't have much of a fee and that needed a fee there. So we added that one to this year's schedule. We also increased the instrument rental fee for orchestra. So anywhere there's an instrument, we've increased that fee. We have eliminated some fees as required by state law, and that is for the core curricular classes. So any of our science classes that had fees in the past that are not continuing education science classes, we've completely eliminated that fee. And to help the teachers out, because they're going to lose that money that they were using for supplies, we'll go through and analyze how much they've been using over the last couple of years and make sure that their budgets get increased for that just out of general monies that we have. And some money, I think the state's going to be providing a little bit of money for some of these changes over the next few years. So that's really about it on the high schools. Middle schools, same thing in regards to band, and really that's, think about the only major change was that we increased the instrument rental portion of that fee for band and orchestra at the middle schools. So with that, I think we're ready to take any comments if there are.
Okay, any questions from board members? Okay, we will open it up for public. Any comments? This is an opportunity to be able to comment specifically towards the fees. And please remember to state your name and the school that you're from, or that your kids are in.
I'm Marie Morgan. I'm with Canyonview High School, or at least kind of sideways. I actually homeschool, but it makes sense to me that these need to be increased. I know it's a burden on some people, but I also know you have a fees waiver program, so that makes all the sense in the world to me that if we can, we can cover more of those things, because it benefits our kids, and it's worth it, especially the band stuff. I know the band directors pretty well, and they are always over a barrel with their repair stuff, and even the repair guys spot them a lot. Anyhow, I just wanted to say thank you guys for doing a great job.
Thank you. Okay, we will move to the next portion of our agenda, which is the public comments for just any regular public comments that are out there. If we have any public that would like to address the board. And just as a reminder, please keep your remarks to 3 minutes. Address me as the board president, and you're welcome to come forward. I don't want to cut anybody off if they're just really hesitant and almost there. Okay, we'll go ahead and move forward to the administrator's report.
Okay, board members, in board docs, you have the budget to actual reports through the end of January. We're not quite through February yet, so this is through the end of January. As I look at those, everything seems to be pretty in line with where we've been in previous years in regards to the percentage of the budget spent. I don't see anything out of the ordinary. Are there any questions on those budget to actual reports? Okay. Other than that, we're moving right along with various capital projects. I know we need the snow and we need the rain, but it sure helps with construction projects when we don't have it. So I'm still asking for it. We'll take it, but it has helped.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Superintendent, your report.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple of items of import to share with the board. First, we want to make you aware as a board that we are kind of far down the road of making a change to our AB schedule. Typically, our process is that the board provides an approval for the calendar. but the board has never really gotten too involved with what day is an A day, what day is a B day. We just kind of work that out. Well, we have been in collaboration with the other entities in our community who help to support the education of our students, namely Southwest Tech, SUU, and Success Academy. Those three organizations have really had to make some difficult adjustments that make things not really work very well because our schedule is not firm. It's not consistent in any way. Because of that, Washington County School District, Garfield, Paiute, Beaver, Kane, and those are just the ones in our area, have all gone to a different type of AB schedule. What we're doing right now is we would start the first day of school as an A day, and then every other day from there on forever is they alternate. The problem with that is an entity like Southwest Tech or SUU can never really count on any certain day being an A day or a B day. So our students sometimes have to block out more than one class period or more than one day in order for them to take a college class, in order for them to take a CTE class or a Southwest Tech class. And that's because Southwest Tech and SUU can't be that nimble to say, yeah, this week Wednesday is a B day, but next week Wednesday is an A day. So many of these districts, the ones that I mentioned, are going to a different schedule, and that's every Monday is an A day, every Tuesday is a B day, every Wednesday, every Thursday, with Fridays being the flux day where you can make up for Monday was a holiday, so now that has to be an A day to make up for that. What you have in your packet is the schedule that we are looking at and going off of, and you can see that if you just follow, every Thursday is going to be a B day, every Wednesday is going to be an A day, but if you look at just the Fridays, you can see how those change. Right now, there's no consistency, so the parent, the student, have to look at the calendar like daily to see, okay, what is it? Some have to do it daily. And so one of the great benefits that we see in this is the ability for some classes to be back-to-back sometimes. So if you look at, for example, September 11th and 12th, because of the way the schedule works, those 2 days are back-to-back. So all the classes you normally have on B day, you get to have them the very next day too. So you can do maybe a bigger project. You can do a lab. You can do something that you can dedicate a little more time to. So there's some benefits that way. There's also, if you look down at the instructional days at the bottom right corner, you can see the first quarter has 21 A days and 21 B days. Second quarter, 22 A days, 23 B days, but then we make that up in quarter four by having 23 A days, 22 B days. The other things that I've listed there in board docs is a change like this gives a better opportunity for our students to take those classes. We had a meeting with SUU and Southwest Tech, and then I previously had a meeting with Success Academy, but especially Southwest Tech and SUU are extremely enthusiastic about this idea because it will make it possible for them to provide high school students access to things that right now just don't make sense schedule-wise. They mentioned specifically a couple of things. One thing would be the aviation mechanic. I think I'm probably not saying that exactly right, but the aviation mechanics
course, there's really nothing preventing a high school student from being able to take those entry-level courses and get going down that road, except for the schedule. The schedule doesn't allow them to be able to do that. This would make that possible, because then the student knows, okay, every Monday and Wednesday I'm going to SUU for this class. What else do I want to make sure? So at this point, unless I hear otherwise from you, we aren't intending to make this a board vote action item. Like I say, this has always been something we just work out. But if you would like it, because it's a change, if you would like it to be on a future agenda, we can do that. But our intent is to move forward working with our teachers, our principals, to make sure that they understand and that we resolve any concerns. And once we do that, if we end up at a point where we feel like the benefit outweighs any negative that might occur, then we would just start communicating with teachers, parents, and everybody.
Okay. And I think, you know, as board members, we're excited about, at least what I'm seeing, a lot of heads nodding and being excited about this.
Yeah, obviously I'm a huge fan, because I've had to work with students in the at the university setting where the A and B days are off, and it's a struggle because it just doesn't seem like things line up. My one concern has always been things like spring breaks lining up and stuff, because is that still, are we going to try to line that up a little better? Or because the university, the schedule is so weird that the spring break is very early compared to what the school district does. Are those students just going to have to suck it up?
That's a great question. I've met with SUU on that, and we are not going to be able to align spring breaks. Mm-hmm. But our March break aligns. So we have 3 days off in March, and that aligns with your spring break intentionally. SUU is the one that made that happen. Okay. And then with our spring break being in April, there's just not a whole lot that we can do about that. But that's kind of what our students sign up for. You know, they know that, you know, when they sign up for a concurrent enrollment or an SUU class, that's one of the things that's going to be part of it.
So while we would love to vote on this just to show our support for it, I think let's keep it in your house as we typically do, unless other board members feel different. And we'll approve the calendars as we typically do.
Okay, that sounds great. The other item, oh yes, please, go ahead.
I'm sorry, echoing. are you presenting this and maybe thinking about rolling it out this fall? Or do you have a projected timeline on that? Did I miss that?
No, you didn't miss that. I just failed to mention it. But yes, this is all for starting next school year. Okay, the other item that I have is to give the board an update on where we're at with the AI committee, the Artificial Intelligence Committee, and the work that we've done to select a provider, a program. So if you could open the AI platform selection process, I just would like the board to know how we went about this. We started back in May of last year. May 10th, sent an email out to the district asking for volunteers to participate on the committee. We ended up with 48 people responding. We did not discriminate. We just let them all be a part of it. And that worked out really good because some of them really didn't participate very much. But we had about 25 who consistently participated, which is an excellent committee. Those 25 consisted of teachers of all subjects and grade levels, instructional coaches, specialists. We had school and district level administrators. We also had members of the technology team. We had an SUU professor that attended several of our meetings. We had an admin assistant, the best one, attended our meetings and was part of that. I forget, but so we have another esteemed participant, and that's Stephanie. We just really appreciate you, Stephanie, given the time energy to help us out with that. You can see the list of our meetings. We met regularly starting in August, and our tasks were to develop a framework, which you have attached to board docs. We developed a rubric together to evaluate AI tools. We determined which platforms to be piloted, and then we piloted those programs, and then we selected a platform just last Thursday. The programs that we piloted, we chose to do just the ones that the state of Utah has approved, because that means that they have all of the safety measures as far as student data and everything. They've checked all the boxes, and the state has vetted all of them. And by pilot, I mean that those who were on the committee had access and they used and practiced using themselves and with students these tools. I would like to also pull up the one that says totals. So after going through and every individual on the committee that was here on last Thursday, we took the time to go through and rate every aspect that we had on our rubric. And when that came out, we had School AI as the top tool for a variety of reasons, mostly having to do with the ease of use and how easy it was for teachers and students to be able to use. So we did just want to give you that update. We are seeking the a contract with School AI. They got me some numbers today, and it looks like if we were to start March 1st, giving people who want to have access and start trying some things, this would be a soft rollout with some training and support now, but a lot more starting at the beginning of next school year. But it would only be $15,000 for us to give everyone access for the rest of this school year. So it's a small amount, and we feel like we can handle that. So that's where we're at.
Just a question for you. I wasn't here, I don't believe, when this was first talked about. Is this going to replace a bunch of tools we're using, or is this in addition to things we're using currently in the district?
No, there's no replacement. These tools, we probably need to do a demonstration. I would love to do that for you in the work meeting coming up in March, just so you have an idea of what it does do. But it does things like what we've been using it heavily for in the pilot, is things like an English teacher being able to upload the rubric for their essay and working with that AI tool to get it just right, so that when the student submits their essay, it gives them instant high-quality feedback on their writing, so then they're able to make adjustments and changes. Yes?
Just to add a little bit to it, one of the really useful things about this is you can take a block of text that maybe has a pretty high Lexile score, and you can plop it in there and say, drop this down to a lower score, because within one grade level, you'll have kids at all these different levels, and it can change the wording to meet the needs of that kid right then.
So it customizes your
curriculum. It pretty much customizes everything. It's insane how amazing it works.
The implications for special education and IEPs, it's glorious. Like, really, it's absolutely glorious. And it's instantaneous. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal product.
It is a step toward real personalized learning. And we're in our infancy of learning and using tools, but this is a great one. The security is there. We're very pleased with the interactions that the students have had. We have students who say that they have never learned at such a high level or so quickly because of the individual attention given through the tool. So we're excited to be able to finally move forward. It's been a long process, but I'm glad we took the time because we needed to. It's a big leap.
And what will the cost be to the district on just a full year?
A full year. That'll be a July 1 to June 30th, and that will be $45,000, which was a lot lower than I thought it was going to be. But I found out that they have an agreement with UEN, the Utah Education Network, under the State Office of Education, and they cannot charge more than that amount because of their contract, and that's in place for the next 5 years.
Just as a side note, it's a Utah product. It's a nationally available tool, but it's a Utah product, and I've had the opportunity on a couple of occasions to speak with the developer, and I think he's from Sevier County. So go rural Utah. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of a long report today, but if you guys have any questions or anything, please let me know. But we'll plan on a demonstration in the March meeting.
Okay, that'll be fantastic. Thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and roll through to our board member reports.
Did you have anything on House Bill 260?
That's
in. Oh. Good catch.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. This was supposed to be in connection with the A Day, B Day. Because the governor and the legislature's first credential program, we're going to see a lot of push for industry-recognized credentials.
CNAs.
Yeah, the idea that every student should graduate from high school with some type of industry-recognized credential. So our partnerships with SUU and Southwest Tech will become more and more important as we move forward. So I apologize, I forgot to tie that in there.
Okay, good catch, Michelle. All right, our next item is board member reports. And with our board member reports, we do have this month John Taylor with the SU College of Health and Science Board, and then Tyrell with the Historic Downtown, but they have not met yet. So, John, do you have items to report from SU?
It's pretty simple.
Okay.
I did meet with the dean, and he's new, and he gave me a look of, oh, okay, let's meet. So he's excited, but he's not quite sure how we fit in and stuff like that. So I'm just going to be proactive and continue to meet with him and support him however he'd like.
Okay, awesome. Kay, thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and move to the next portion of our agenda, which is the trust land amendments and final report.
If I can, President, I'm going to turn the time over to Nate the Great. He wasn't able to be here last week, so I'll have him present. Mark, set, go.
Well, first off, wow, this is quite the audience.
Yes.
Almost by myself, so that's pretty exciting. First off, before I do this real quick, I just want to say thank you for Lance and leading the way on our AI committee. I've been on that committee, and I can tell you as a parent that uses AI to help my kids at home with their homework, it's such a great opportunity for us to start bringing that in and having our educators teach our kids the correct way to use it. Because they're already using it. It's just a matter of teaching them the correct way to use it. So very, very excited about that. So our trust land, or our community council got together to make an amendment for this year's plan. Basically, to sum up really what it is we had $10,000 that our teachers felt we needed for math manipulatives. And when that's the kind of the sum dollars that our teachers felt like they needed. And when it came time to actually purchasing those math manipulatives, they came up with the total after we had figured out all the items and put the purchase orders in for about $3,600. And so we met back as a community council and voted on the ability to say, we have a high need right now for decodable text in our leveled library. or, you know, baggy books that go home to the kids that tie into the exact lessons that they're learning. And so we voted on being able to use those excess funds and target them towards reading text, not just math, because our teachers felt like they had everything there. So we really, the changes to our plan are very minute. It said number four on it was to purchase math manipulatives and organizers to support mathematics, and we changed it to purchase math manipulatives, organizers, and books to support mathematics and reading. So that was the only change for our amendment. So
I made a mistake on that document in there that you're voting on. I tried to put down notes, and I actually put that in there for Iron Springs exactly opposite of what he just said. So we're going to go with what he said, not what I wrote. So I apologize if you just reverse those. Anyway, so I misunderstood that. I
could
apologize,
have been
Nate.
Me sharing.
No, I doubt that. I'm sure I just misheard. So anyway, this is an action item for you guys. So we did put a document together that kind of summed up. Well, I think it summed up what they talked about before. So you can at least look at that when you make an action item on this particular agenda item.
So as we go through this, to be able to approve the amendment as presented, we will need to adjust our motion to include the change for Iron Springs. So whoever's preparing in their mind to make that motion,
I'd like to
keep that in mind.
An amendment to the motion to accept it as he said, not as written. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Or
exactly
we can make the we can make the motion to accept it as he stated. That little caveat.
Okay.
We don't have to amend because we haven't made a motion yet.
So I motion to accept the state trust lands amendments as stated here.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the state trust lands amendment as discussed. Any additional comments or additional discussion? Megan and Tiffany?
I don't think they do.
Nope.
They're saying no.
I just didn't want to block you. I can't see you, so I can't tell if you're trying to wave me down or not. So,
and thank you, Roy, for putting in that link to so we can see the final reports. Appreciate that.
I think it's okay. I can go back in and adjust and make that redirect.
Okay.
It doesn't because of the motion, but she's talking about the final report link.
So it has been moved and seconded that we accept the amendment to the school trust lands as stated. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on our agenda is our open enrollment designation.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. So final reports, I have to report on the final report. So I did have, Colby did a great job of giving kind of a walkthrough of how to get and view the final report. Do you have any questions about that? Okay, so you can go in, look at the final report. It's my responsibility to tell you that I have reviewed the final reports and giving an okay. It's not an action item that requires a vote. It just requires that I report to you that they've been completed. So that has been done. And you have access to look at that in that public setting.
So if there's any concerns or questions with board members, please reach out to Mr. Matthews.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number two, open enrollment designation.
Okay, you've already seen this. We went through it last week. There has been a change, though. I realized that one of the schools, Enoch Elementary, we had as closed. However, I missed that they did qualify under the maximum minus 40. They were really close, just right on that brink of the 90% by one student. And so we thought, well, that's close enough. But remember up in the slide before, it just says 90% of maximum capacity or maximum capacity minus 40. So they would remain open to the early enrollment period. So the only schools that would be closed to the early enrollment is East Elementary, Iron Springs Elementary, South Elementary, Three Peaks Elementary, and Cedar High School.
Okay, and board members, if you scroll down one page, there's a great little bit of information for you right there. So we'll look for a motion. This is an action item as well, so we'll look for a motion.
I'll make it, Ben.
Okay, thank you.
I'll move that we designate the following schools as closed to out-of-boundary transfers: East Elementary, Iron Springs Elementary, South Elementary, Three Peaks Elementary, and Cedar High School.
Okay, do we have a second? Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we designate the following schools as closed to out-of-boundary transfers: East Elementary, Iron Springs Elementary, South Elementary, Three Peaks Elementary, and Cedar High School. Any additional discussions?
I just wanted to clarify one last time that these numbers are based off of the portables as well on these school capacities.
Well, certainly the enrollment numbers, right, the current enrollment numbers include those students, and when we figured the maximum capacity, we did include the portables.
Okay. So 90% is actually including
two separate
buildings that aren't actually part of the school.
That is correct.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that's clear.
Okay. Any additional discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you. Okay. We will now move into the next section. We're going to do this a little bit different, okay? In the past, as we have done first readings, we just have discussed if there needs to be discussions, but then we just move it along to second reading. The board, so that I'm not making those decisions, the board's making those decisions, you will need to make a motion to move it to second reading or to keep it at first reading. And so that's what we'll be looking for as we go through these. So we'll start with policy 718, media.
There have been some adjustments to this, so we'll let Roy go through those.
So one of the questions was regarding music. If you scroll down to three point one. As far as I can tell with music, we have clean and naughty. What's the other one called?
Explicit.
And so with that, I just added in ICSD prohibits the use of media or music containing any of the following: graphic violence, innuendo, or nudity. And then as part of the next two sentences later, music that has been rated as explicit is prohibited. Our schools.
I like the naughty as well, if you know. I'm just kidding.
Sorry. I do know our schools have it's an app, or they refer to it as Neptune. I'm not very familiar with it, but they pretty much, Neptune buys the rights to music. They run it through Neptune. Neptune scrubs it for the not so clean stuff. If it's too graphic or too not good, then Neptune actually just refuses it. So it's I feel comfortable that our principals are aware. Sometimes it's hard to know what they're singing about. So anyway, there is some due diligence there. And that was the one change.
Roy, just one question. On 3.5, the second item down, full-length movies, in parentheses you have meta. Is that supposed to be media?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Unless you're from Idaho and that's...
And that's what it says.
Yeah, it's media.
Okay, so we'll look for a motion. If that's what you'd like, or to move it to second reading.
I'll make a motion that, well, actually,
for you first.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay? Did we get feedback from the teachers on this policy? Because I know that I had some teachers reaching out to me about a few things on there. Have we had any concerns come back from them?
Yes. Most of the concern has been centered around the secondary levels wanting to show a full-length movie in their class. For example, they read a book and then there's a movie associated with that book, and then wanting to show the movie in the class then over the next class period, or I mean, most movies are going to take at least two class periods, something like that. So that's been a concern. I feel like that they can still do that with more of a Hattie's research in mind. If you listen to what Hattie says about that type of stuff, John Hattie's research emphasizes the importance of direct instruction and clear learning intentions. When incorporating videos, it's crucial to align them with specific learning goals rather than simply showing lengthy films. Effective video use involves selecting short targeted clips that directly illustrate key concepts or skills. This approach maximizes student engagement and minimizes distractions, allowing for focused discussions and applications of knowledge. Hattie's work suggests that this deliberate selection of video segments coupled with teacher-led analysis and reflection can significantly enhance student understanding and achievement as opposed to passive viewing of entire movies. With that being said, and I'm in that situation as a teacher, I would do just what Hattie's talking about. I would have a viewing guide. If we watch the full film, that's fine, but I would break that into clips. I would go 20 minutes. And then I would talk about this is where we're at in that film. And again, nobody's going to be sitting in a classroom with a stopwatch. So if a natural break occurred at 25 minutes, that's not a big deal. But to then stop the class, discuss where they're at, why they're watching that aspect, and then moving forward, I don't see anything in that policy with it that would not allow for that to happen. And so that's kind of where I've been with that. Anyway. I don't think that's been articulated that well, and there would probably need to be a little training with our principals on that concept as well.
And to be clear, some of the concerns about the policy are coming from people who have not yet seen the policy. This is going to go out to them after tonight, and then they have a month to provide feedback. So some of the concerns really are just based on what they were hearing, not what they were actually reading in the policy.
So if we were to move it to a second reading, would they still have that opportunity, or do we need to wait to do that so that they can...
No, that's exactly what it will do, is moving it to a second reading allows it to go out for additional information and feedback. And so rather than me just move it to second reading as I've done in the past, we'll do it as a board.
I'll second that.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we move policy 718, media, to second reading. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? And motion carries.
If you don't like using the word move twice, you could say move to advance this to a second reading.
Okay. Okay, policy 724, student fees. And this is...
No changes on this one. This is just a requirement from the state that we review and approve this policy annually.
So we will look to move this to a second reading if that's the desire of the board.
I'll move to advance the full title would be policy 724 on student fees to a second read.
I'll second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we move policy 724, student fees, to second reading. Any additional discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? And motion carries. Okay, next policy is policy 729, student out-of-state travel.
We actually have 725.
Oh, sorry. Policy 725, fee waiver regulations.
Same thing on this one, no changes, just a requirement to review annually and approve.
I move that we accept or move to second reading policy 725 fee waivers.
I'll second that.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded to move policy 725 fee waiver regulations to second reading. Any additional discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, a motion carries. Okay, now we will go ahead and work on policy 729, student out-of-state travel.
Yes, there has been a change on this one. If you go to 3.3, I have met a couple times with different groups to talk about concerns. One of the changes, again, the state is changing on students were, I believe it was FCCLA, they're now allowing up to third, fourth, and fifth, sixth places to go and compete at national competitions. So when it read last time we presented this, that first and second, which then opened a door, well, we would have to start making exceptions to this policy. So in speaking with Superintendent Hatch and with Todd and others, what we did in 3.3 is we just simply state students in 9th through 12th grade who qualify to compete in a national competition or students in 9th through 12th grade who are elected to serve as student officers in their state organizations may be allowed to attend national competitions / conventions if they're properly supervised and qualified to compete. So we took out that first and second. That still allows, if you're being recognized in your state organization as a competitor, then we're going to support that. We would support all of those as opposed to only supporting first and second two with the stipend. So
there are scenarios where a first and second is selected by the state and one of those teams doesn't go. In that case, the state invites the third place team to go and compete at the national competition instead. And so this allows us to do that as well.
Todd, did we cover everything there?
Yeah. Any other changes were minor, just in wording.
Okay.
I think that helps with some of their concerns. Anyway, thank you.
Great. I move that we advance policy 729, student out-of-state travel, to a second reading.
Second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded to advance policy 729, student out-of-state travel, to a second reading. Any additional discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And motion carries. Okay, next on our agenda is policy 835, student conduct discipline.
Okay, that one's mine, and there is a change based on the feedback we got last week. I dug deep
into obscenities
and found some definitions in state code.
Okay.
One of them, the first one, I think is just coming from the license plate division. Like, they don't allow you to put certain things on your license. Hey. But we needed some clarification. And it's in state code. So Profanity includes the use of foul, abusive, or profane language. And then further, the other code defines profanity as language that is vulgar, coarse, or irreverent, including epithets, slurs, or swear words. Short of a list, I think that probably covers it.
John, you have to admit, you did a pretty good job clarifying that for you.
It's not bad.
I love it when they use the word in the definition of the word.
Yeah, yeah.
There, profanity yeah. is profane things.
Profane. I really like it, though. I like that it provides that clarity. I mean, you can look at it as an administrator and say, hey, yeah, that's abusive language, or that's yeah. an epithet.
Well, there's a lot of new verbiage I'm learning, you know, so.
Good thing to have it just cover things in general, so we're not updating the list constantly.
Yeah, there. Yeah, right.
Well, that's a good point, is it gives yeah. you that fluid nature that is language changes and meanings uh-huh. change, that the policy can adapt to that, so.
I did provide a list. It was rejected.
But yeah. it was spelled like the Idahoans, so we were, it was a little hard to...
There's no way we were using that list.
Okay, we'll look for a motion here. Sorry, this is a little bit... We'll get used to this a little bit more. Usually, once I hear things silenced down, I move them forward, but we'll get used to this.
I'll move to advance policy 835, the student conduct discipline, to a second read.
A second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we advance policy 835, student conduct discipline, to a second read. Any additional discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, and motion carries. Okay, the next one on our agenda for first reading is policy 856, medication at school.
So yeah, this is one that Tiffany came in and talked about last week, where the bulk albuterol is we're now able to use that in our schools. So we're just asking for a policy, and this as it's listed here, for us to be able to do that for students who forget their medication.
And if the board desires at this point, because it's this small change in here, we can suspend our typical rules and move that forward if that would be helpful, but it's the board's decision. Yeah, we suspend the rules and move it forward for final vote.
I'll make a motion that we suspend the rules on policy 856, medication at school, and move it for final approval.
I'll second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we suspend the rules and move policy 856, medication at school, forward for final approval. Any additional discussion? All in favor?
I just want to make sure we're not going to get in trouble for suspending, because I'm not even sure it's suspending, is it? We're just jumping a step, and if somebody said, I'm not comfortable with that, we could vote against that.
Then you could vote against that, absolutely.
And so I'm not sure we need the words suspend the rules or something, but we're moving it forward.
That's the typical language that they
okay.
use. Yeah. So.
All right, I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, good question. Any additional discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, a motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, now moving to our second reading portion of our agenda, and these are for approval. We have policy 337, salary deductions.
We haven't made any changes to this policy since we looked at it last.
So I move that we accept policy 337 as written.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept policy 337 salary deductions as written. Any additional discussion? Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion carries. Okay, next on our agenda is policy 726, fund drives.
I don't think we've made any changes since first read on this one as well.
So we will look for a motion for approval on this as well.
I'll make a motion for approval on policy 726, fund drives.
I'll second it, but I want to emphasize that we need some training that goes out to all those organizations, so I hope that happens.
Yeah, okay. We've been working on putting that together.
Awesome. And Megan, thank you for seconding that. That was the question that was brought up here is, are you comfortable with it? Because I know you had some concerns. So it has been moved and seconded that we approve policy 726 fund drives. Any additional discussion?
I do have one piece just for clarification purposes. When listing the people that this kind of covers, it does mention the word volunteer. I'm just wondering, how are we defining volunteer as far as fundraising? Are they being held to the same Iron County School District standards as everyone else on that list? Does that make sense?
And would we be liable based on their actions?
It's a concern of mine, like who's actively going out and asking for money, and for anyone to just go, oh, I'm a volunteer. Do we vet volunteers ever, or?
We do have volunteers. So in order for you to volunteer in the schools or different things, there's a process that they have to run through, and even fingerprinting is associated with all of that. So it's not just
Yeah, there is some of that. Really, it's on the cash receiving side of things. We don't want volunteers receiving money, hanging on to it, you know, for a district-type fundraiser, and then turning that in later with the potential that, you know, they keep some of it. It's really to ensure that volunteers are following district policy as well as our own staff.
So they are going to be held to following district policy. Okay.
And that will be part of the training that she mentioned. Mm-hmm. They will have to go through a training specific to fundraising.
Yeah, well, we would provide that to them. Yeah. Now, there's not a lot of recourse against volunteers. We can't fire them.
We can not let them volunteer.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Can we make the training so that it's more accessible, like a video, you know, so it's easy to disseminate?
Yeah, that's what we're looking into in regards to how to train. Videos are good. We talked about, I think, in the last meeting, a kind of a flow chart type of a thing, as Roy and I tried to put that together. Flowchart didn't work all that well, but a checklist of things.
I like the video
with
you and Roy as the actors in that.
I think we may do that. It might be an Office parody.
Well, all joking aside, we do have our Vector system. We can create a custom training on Vector, which is nice because then we can assign it to people, send it to them on email, and we know when they complete it. They could watch the video and then answer questions, and that's some accountability there that they have done it. So I can work with Shauna on that as well, but it's really not that hard to do, and I think that's the right system to do it so we're not like, oh, yeah, I did it, and we have no record that they actually did.
Okay, any additional discussion? Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we approve policy 726 fund drives. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? And the motion carries. Okay. At this time, we do have a closed session, and so we will look for a motion to enter into closed session.
I move that we enter into a closed meeting for the purpose of discussing the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual, also for discussing pending or reasonably imminent litigation. This meeting is being held in the boardroom at the offices of the Iron County School District.
I'll second.
Could we add, I apologize, I got a text right at the very end of the day. Could we add discussing purchase, exchange, or lease of real property to that?
Sure.
Motion.
I would add to the motion that I initiated that we will also be discussing the sale of real property.
Purchase,
exchange.
I will add to that movement the discussing of the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we moved into move into closed session for the discussion of character, professional competence, physical and mental health of an individual, discussing pending or reasonable imminent litigation, and discussing the sell, exchange, or lease of real property. Any additional discussion? Okay, roll call vote. Let's start with Tiffany.
Tiffany had to go to an event.
Okay.
Megan Ralph, aye.
John Taylor, aye.
Tyrell Eddy, aye.
Michelle Tullis, aye.
Ben Johnson, aye.
Stephanie Hill, aye.
Okay, and with that, we will move into...